الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وعن عبد الرحمن بن أبي قرد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال توزأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فجعل أصحابه يتمسعون بوضوئه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يحملكم على هذا قالوا حب الله ورسوله فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله أو يحبه الله ورسوله فليصدق حديثا وليؤدي أمانة وليحسن جارة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, respected and beloved Mu'takifin, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've quoted a hadith that is narrated by a sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Qurad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Qurad radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu. So the sahaba that were around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started taking from the wudu water of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The muhaddithin explains two meanings to this. One is, like in the olden days, people would normally make wudu with the wudu container, with the jar. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make wudu with his wudu container. The remaining water that were there, sahaba used to rush for it to make use of that water and to seek barakah from the water. And another explanation is, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make wudu, the water that used to drip from the mubarak limbs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba used to rush to collect it. So that the water should not fall on the floor and they would derive barakah from the water that comes out from Mubarak limbs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would value everything of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the books of hadith, a similar incident is mentioned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed hajj, the hajjatul wada of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Hajj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a place called Batha. A red colored tent was pitched for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala brought wuzu water for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There too, in the place Batha, the sahaba would rush to collect the remaining water of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who got the water. And those who did not get the wuzu water of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would go touch the limb of another sahabi who touched the wuzu water of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sixth year after Hijrah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, they intended to perform Umrah, but the kuffar of Makkah stopped Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba. Urwa ibn Mas'ud Thaqafi, when he came to talk to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to negotiate on behalf of the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah, So he explained his observations. While he was there with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, representing the kuffar, negotiating with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed the conduct of the sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making wudu, and all the sahaba rushing around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would collect the water that falls out from the mubarak limbs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Urwa ibn Mas'ud Saqafi goes back to Makkah, and he tells his people there about his observations. He says, I went to the Roman Empire, to Roman Empress. I went to a Persian Empress. I did not see the followers of any of those emperors respecting the emperors as much as the Sahaba would show adab and respect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Qurad radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made wudu, the Sahaba were taking the remaining water of the wudu of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, Ma yahmilukum ala hadha? Why are you doing this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew why they are doing it. They are doing it out of love. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to educate them on something. So he asked them that what makes you do this? What motivates you? What jolts you to do this? To take by remaining, to take the water of their wudu. So, Sahaba mentioned, Hubbullah wa Rasul. We are doing it only out of love for Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, we love you. We love everything attached to you. Even the water that touches your body, we even love that. And that is why we are collecting that water. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop the Sahaba from expressing and showing their love. From this we also understand, Shariat encourages us to show love. When the Sahaba told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're doing it out of love, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not object to it. He accepted it. And you got love for someone, you must express that love. And that is a teaching of the Shariat as well. In fact, in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us different ways how we could enhance our love for one another. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, tahaddu tahabbu. You got friendship with someone, exchange gifts. And by exchanging gifts, you'd increase your love and muhabbat. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, سَبْعَةٌ يُزِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On the day of Qiyamah, 7 people will get shade under the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when there won't be any shade but the shade of the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then, in that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, رَجُلَان تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ. 2 people, they show love to one another in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one gathering, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated there. One sahabi told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this one person that is passing by, I love him. I like him. I got muhabbat for him. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, wake up, go and tell the person that you like him. You got muhabbat for him. How must the person that you love know that you love him, and how you would expect him to exchange that love? Go tell the person you love him. And when the person knows you love him, you express your love for him, now he's going to reciprocate with the love. فَلْيُخْبِرْهُ إِيَّا. Go tell him that you love him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even taught us, when you come across a person, you don't know the person, first time you're meeting him, go ask him his name. Ask him where he came from. فَإِنَّهُ أَوْسَلُ لِلْمَوَدَّةِ. Asking these questions, familiarizing yourself with the next person, what is his name? What is his father's name? Which town he come from? Asking basic questions. By that, you build the taluk and the muhabbat, and the love also increases with that. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to show muhabbat. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, Tazawwajul waludul wadood. When you get married to woman, then try to get married to woman that will give birth to many children, and get married to a woman that will show love. You have a wife, she shows you love. And when she shows you love, that love will then have an effect on the children. They'll learn also how to show love. So Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, what makes you all do this? They said, we are doing it only out of love for Allah and the Rasul. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then taught them a principle of love. Love is not just something that, it's not just a feeling. Nabi sallam taught them a principle of love. What is the dictate of love? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Man sarrahu ay yuhibba Allah wa rasoola. Aw yuhibbuhu Allah wa rasoolu. That person who likes that he loves Allah the Rasul. Now because the Sahaba did this to out of love for Allah the Rasul, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the second part of it as well. And when he showed love to Allah the Rasul, Allah the Rasul also show him love. Then do three things. From this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a principle of love. Love is not only about feelings. Imagine if the husband goes home and he tells his wife, with all the words of love from the dictionary, I love you, I got all the love, I'm prepared to sacrifice my life for you. He doesn't leave the home to buy bread and milk. He doesn't support the wife. Eat time come, he doesn't express his love by giving her, showering her some gifts. Occasions of life come, he say, no, don't worry, be rest assured I love you. I got married to you, be rest assured I got love you. Over a period of time, the wife will also understand that this is just fake claims of love. She'll walk out of the home. Love is something that you need to express. And there is also dictates of love. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this also understood in the hadith. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. A person's iman is not complete until I am not more beloved to him than his father, his children, of all of mankind. On one side, Nabi Sallam mentioned this. But then there's another hadith. Love is not only about love, but there are certain dictates of love. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. Your iman is not complete until your hawa, your desires, you claim you love someone, now you subordinate your desires to your beloved. So one is a feel, one is a feeling of love, and one is fulfilling the dictates of love. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, you people love me, you're collecting my wuzu water, but you know what is real love? Real love is to do what I tell you all to do. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things. فَلْيَصْدُقْ حَدِيثًا. When you talk, speak the truth. When an amanat is entrusted to you, then you execute that amanat and be good to your neighbor. Three things Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned. Today, I just want to discuss the first part. فَلْيَسْتُقْ حَدِيثًا. Speak the truth. Shariat is emphasized on speaking the truth. It's a simple topic. Sometimes people like to listen to big, big sophisticated things. What's happening around the world? Politics. This country, that country. Fine. As an ummati, you don't need to know that. But more important than that is to correct and rectify ourselves on basic, simple principles of life. Speak the truth. Shariat is emphasized. Be truthful on your tongue. In fact, the very basis of iman is based on truthfulness. The muhaddithin, when they define iman, they say three things. Tasdeeq bil qalb, iqrar bil lisan, and a'mal jawarih. Tasdeeq bil qalb, what is iman? That from your heart, you honestly, truly believe in Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If you not truly and honestly do not believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, your verbal proclamation about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is false. So you need to truly believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from your heart. That is tasdeeq bil qalb. And after having believed of, in Allah, Almighty Allah from your heart, now you need to sink with your tongue. You need to express it and exemplify it. Iqrar bil lisan. Somebody says, somebody, he's got iman in his heart, and there's no obstacle for him to proclaim it iman, and he doesn't proclaim it iman, he's not true. Or the third, especially according to Muhaddithin, and more so according to Imam Bukhari, that is also important, that for the truthfulness of the person's iman, for a person to practice on the dictates and the taqazas of iman. the various things that Sharia tell you to do. These are the three things. In the 6th year after Hijrah, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided to write letters to various kings inviting them to Islam, he wrote a letter to Hiraqal, the Roman king, inviting him to Islam. Hiraqal wanted to find out more about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So apparently Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, at that time he was not a Muslim, he was in Syria. Hiraqal called for him, and Hiraqal asked him 10 questions about Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the questions Hiraqal asked about Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bima ya'murukum. This person that is claiming Prophet Muhammad, what does he teach you? So Abu Sufyan mentioned 4 things, 4 basic teachings of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salat wa sidq wal iffa wal amana. Truthfulness. Abu Sufyan told it to Hiraqal in the Roman palace that Muhammad teaches truthfulness. Basic teaching of Islam. To be truthful. Don't speak lies. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who narrates a hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned alaykum bis sidq. Fa inna sidq yahdi ilal birr. Wa innal birr yahdi ilal jannah. You know when you speak the truth, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, you are truthful, you're truthful in your speech, that leads you to act of virtue. And act of virtue, it leads you to Jannah. In other words, if you take out the middle part, it means that truthfulness is such that it's a means for a person to go into Jannah. Iyakum wal kizb, stay away from speaking lies. فَإِنَّ الْكِذْبُ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. Speak away, stay away from lies. Lies, it leads to immoral acts. It leads to transgression. And transgression leads a person to fire of Jahannam. In one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to us, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْكِذْبُ وَهُوَ بَاطِلُ. You know what is truthfulness? You know the reality of the situation. Despite that, you say something contrary to what is the reality of the situation, that is a lie. If you have that courage and you stay away from speaking lies, now this hadith is very easy narrated than the realities that we face in life. Sometimes with your friends, families, associates, and you're put in a compromising situation, and you speak the truth, you're in trouble with your friend. So you think, to save yourself from trouble, you rather speak a lie. Nabi Karim s.a.w. mentioned that that person who stays away from speaking a lie, and lies is batil. It is spurious, it is haram. Now obviously, sometimes by speaking the truth, you put yourself in a very compromising situation. Probably the people near and dear you, they probably will abandon you. Nabi Karim s.a.w. mentioned that Bunya lahu fi rabadil jannah. Allah will bless him with a palace in the vicinity of Jannah. That is because speaking the truth requires courage in a person. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَبَاعَدُ عَنْهُ الْمَلَكُ مِنْ نَتْنِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ. When a person speaks lies, we don't realize it, but it's a spiritual thing. Allah the Rasul have told us that. When a person speaks a lie, then there's a bad odor that comes out from his mouth, that the malaika of rahmat and mercy, they run far away from this person. Because he's speaking lies. There was one person, Qari Amir Hassan. I think he was from Dioban. He was the Khalifa Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali. So he used to say, when we were in our childhood, so our elders used to tell us, don't speak lies. Your mouth will smell. So you see, this was entrenched in our mind so much that whenever people used to talk and we suspected somebody speaking lies, we used to go by his mouth and smell his mouth. Not that, it didn't really mean that it's a real or bad odor, but to that extent it was entrenched in the minds of the people. So speaking the truth, when a person inculcates the habit of speaking the truth, then it's a means of his spiritual progress. Now his islah will be made. One Sahabi, he came to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he told Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, I commit many evils. I speak lies. I commit zina. I drink wine. I know all that I'm doing is wrong. Slowly I leave it. But from all these wrongs that I'm doing, tell me which wrong I should leave out immediately. Now imagine, if somebody has to come and ask us this question. Somebody tells you he's committing zina, or and he's drinking wine, he's speaking lies, he's doing all different type of evils, and he comes and tells, show me one wrong I should leave out. So, what answer we probably give him? So we probably our logic will say that, you know, the worst of them too is from, the worst of all is zina. You tell a person, stay away from zina. Allah's Rasul didn't tell him that. This is the Rasul of Allah, he's got wisdom in him. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even shun him, didn't scold him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu told him that leave out only one thing, speaking lies. Now psychologically you look at it, this is the easiest of them all. In relation to zina, easier to stay away from lies. In relation to drinking wine, easier to stay away from lies. Now had it been you and I, we would have told a bigger thing. But Allah Rasul gave the most easiest prescription. Told him, just stay away from lies. Now, the reason, the logic behind this is that this person, now, he has undertaken a pact, an agreement with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he's not going to speak lies. Automatically, now, he's not going to commit zina. Because if he's going to commit zina, and then he'll be asked, that did you commit zina? He can't speak lies. He's going to speak the truth. So he'll abstain from zina. Did you drink wine? So he can't speak lies. He has to speak the truth. So he's got, because of that agreement we made Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if Nabi Sallallahu asked me I drank wine, well, I can't speak lies. I have to speak the truth. I'll feel ashamed to say that I drank wine. So he would stay away from drinking wine. Speaking the truth kept him away from all other type of gunas and sins. That's why one thing, one prescription for our spiritual reformation and change is be truthful all the time. All the time be truthful. How does this truthfulness come in our lives? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ Fear Allah Ta'ala. Inculcate Allah consciousness in you. And how do you do it? Be with the truthful people. When you are with the Sadiqeen, Siddiq will come into you. When you are with the truthful people, truthfulness will come into you. The type of company you adopt, that's a type of effect will come into you. In explaining this verse, Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, he says, where Allah Ta'ala says, be with the truthful people, ay, khalituhum litakunu mislahum. Associate yourself with the truthful people, pious people, Allah-fearing people, they're straight and upright, stay with them, see how they deal. See how they interact with people, how truthful, how honest they are, and that will have an effect on you. So that you can become just like them. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, in explaining this verse, he explains it very beautifully, he says, that, مُجَالَسَةُ الْحَرِيسِ وَمُخَالَتَتُهُ يَحْرِسُ الْحِرْسِ When you stay with a greedy person, you interact with a greedy person, the company of the greedy person will make you greedy. And وَمُجَالَسَةُ الْزَاهِدِ وَمُخَالَتَتُهُ يَحْرِسُ الزُّهْدِ You stay with a zahid, a person that abstains from the dunya, got no inclination to a dunya. You stay with him, you interact with him, the effect of those people will be on you, you'll also become a person that got no inclination to the dunya. Zuhd, an abstinence of the dunya will also come into you. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned one hadith, the benefit of staying in the company of pious people. The one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Al-Ainu Haqqun. The eye had an effect. Sometimes we talk about bad nazar. It is true, Nabi Kareem says, I mentioned it. That some people got certain strength in the eyes, is a type of a poison that comes out that had an effect on the next person. So Mullah Ali Qari commenting on this, he says that, فَإِنَّ نَظْرَ الْعَارِفِينَ زِدُّ هَذَا النَّظَرِ Arifin, People who got ta'alluq with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, muhabbat with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, their nazar is different from the nazar of those people. Their sight, you stay in their company, they will look at you, they will advise you, they'll put you on the correct path. And by way of example, you don't have to be a person, a very pious person, to be in the, stay in the company of a pious person and for a change and revolution to come, take place in your life. You can be anyone. And Allah gives an example of Ashabi Kahf. Those youngsters, they took refuge in the cave. There was a dog in the front. A dog in Napak. Dog in impure. But it stayed with the company of these youngsters. It had the blessing and the honor of it being mentioned in the Quran Kareem. So it's very, very important for us. You see, a hen, it sits on its eggs for a period of time and then it hatches. Because there was a sohbat, there was a taluk, that relationship, and then there was a result on that. Likewise, when we stay in the company of the sulaha, you stay in the company of pious people. If a person stays in the company of bad people, look at the effect of it. 1 month, 2 months, you see, he starts thinking like a person. His philosophy, thinking, ideology, everything is like that, those people. So why not, when you stay in the company of the sulaha and the pious people, they're conscious of namaz, they're conscious of Quran, they're conscious of zikr, their thinking is pure. You stay in the company of pious people, you'll become just like that. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to stay in the company of the sulaha, of the pious people. Nabi Kareem Sallam taught us one dua. Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak, wa hubba may yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. O Allah, we ask of you your muhabbat, your love. But sometimes, because of our weakness, we don't have it. So you must adopt all the means of the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكَ. And we want the love of those people that love you. So when we interact with people that love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the love that is contained in the heart, it will have an effect on our hearts. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us tawfiq to do those a'mal that lead us to the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is a dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he makes a nice statement. Normally we do our kitabs of Hidayatul Nahwa and all that. The second year, there's a nice beautiful poem there. وَحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. That time we just did it because we're learning Arabic. We don't know the haqiqat and the reality. As you go on in life, then you understand what you learned maybe 30, 40 years ago. Now it hits you. That's the reality. That time we only look at the words. Now we've gone beyond the words to look deeper into a meaning that had a real deep meaning. وَحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. Imam Hanifa says, I love the pious people, but I'm not among the pious. Imam Hanifa is saying that. I love the pious people, I'm not among them. Not that he was not pious, it was out of humbleness and humility he says that. But he says, but because I love the pious people, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. Because of my love for the pious people, maybe Allah will create the salahiyat and ability of salah and taqwa and piety in me. That's why our dua should always be, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْهَادِينَ وَالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Ask Allah Ta'ala for all these duas, and through that Allah will make us among the truthful ones. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat, inshallah. We'll be making the zikr. And as I mentioned this morning after Fajr in the zikr program, one very thought-provoking hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu went for Mi'raj. He said, Laqitu Ibrahim laylata usriya bi. I met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the night of Mi'raj. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told to me, Ya Muhammad, Iqra ummataka minni as-salam. Convey his salam to your ummah, from my side. The adab and etiquette of the hadith, when we get the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we reply to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we say, wa alayhi salam. And then, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, tell your ummah that Jannat is beautiful. Jannat is beautiful. The sand is beautiful, and the water is very, very pure and sweet in Jannah. But Jannat is an open field. And in order to cultivate that land in Jannah, say, La ilaha illallah and subhanallah. Making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when we make the zikr of Allah ta'ala, then we are cultivating our Jannah. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he told his son, Oh my son, Two things you must do, two things you must not do. Two things you must do, you must say, La ilaha illallah, and you must say, Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah, he say, it is such a powerful zikr, had the sky and the earth got together and locked up, and within that, if a person had to say, La ilaha illallah, it will penetrate, burst open, and go right all to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Subhanallah, it is a salatul khalq. It is the dua of the makhluk and wabihi yurzak. Through Subhanallah, Allah give risk and sustenance. And two things you must not do. Don't commit kufr, don't commit shirk. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah to inculcate in us the adat of zikr. This was the habit of the sadiqeen. This was the habit of the true and pious. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, where he speaks about the qualities of the pious people, الزاكرين الله كثيرا والزاكرات. That men and women, they are those that make lots and lots of zikr. Zikr is not only confined to reading the Quran Kareem, but zikr is that taking the name of Allah Tabarak in a specific way to attach ourselves to Almighty Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.